Oh, hang on. Where's Adam gone?
He's back.
I'm back. I'm so used to getting ready to start a show by shutting down all the apps that I don't need. And Safari is usually one of those apps. It's like, oh, close the browser because the browser is going to be doing a bunch of crud in the background. Well, guess what? Hangouts is in the browser.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, give it all that.
Welcome to the Mac Show, the competent show where everyone here knows exactly what they're doing with the Mac, as we've just proved there. I'm Ian Rankin, here to take you through it. I'm going to have a fantastic week, and I am joined by, the weekend is here. We have beer. It is Friday. We're having fun. It was a lovely day, right? We're going to have a barbie tonight, but the problem is the sun's gone into. Joining me, Adam.
Hey.
Where you been,
I'm sitting with coffee. It's a little early
A bit early for you.
For beer. What you been up to? Yeah, I'm good. Huh?
What you been up to? Were you here last week, or did you miss last week or the week before?
I think it was the week before.
Huh?
Was it last week?
Last week, yeah.
No.
We were home alone. We're like the kids without the adult. We didn't know anything about
my calendar.
I promise you, we didn't know anything about
it. Where were you last Friday? It's like you don't need an alibi, dude.
Well, I was in Vegas for a thing, but that was not last week.
Oh, no, we did the nuns. We did the nuns and Man Baby.
Yeah. Yep, I was back. So I'm pretty sure it was 2 weeks ago, but I don't know.
Christ,
I lose track of time. I'm of that age now where I don't even know where I am half the time.
True. Are you feeling well?
I'm doing great, yeah. Things are good.
Good stuff. We're waiting on Doc. Doc might turn up, and Greeny's definitely turned up. He's just got to get home from work. But next to him, it's the man of leisure himself, James Rickards.
Yeah, he's got to be of leisure because he doesn't have a machine half the time to work on.
He's come back from siesta in France after lunch.
I've had my three courses, as the French do, between 12 and 2. France does shut down. I was up at 5:30 this morning. I've been really busy. We've got a little house in the garden, which is, some would say it's a gîte, I guess. And it's been full of rubbish since we bought it. We had a new roof put on it at the end of last year. And it's finally looking good. So we've been moving rubbish and taking it to the déchetterie, which is a posh word for the skip. There you go. That's your French lesson for today, the déchetterie.
Okay.
The déchetterie? Did you say déchetterie?
Déchetterie. And then there's something called a discharge, which is another area of waste management. And the discharge is kind of like, if you've got like building waste, you can go to the discharge. No. It's just a beautiful area you can just
go dump stuff.
I'll tell you what, it's all free though. You can rock up with a van, unlike England. I need a ticket for everything. You can rock up with a big van, a border van of a friend, and you rock on up and just tip all your rubbish out the side. And it's just funny. If you're from England and you know this, you have to have a ticket for everything. And here, just rock up with a van and just chuck all your rubbish out the door. It's brilliant.
Dink Pan has chimed in the chat room. Three courses is that's the longest the French can go without surrendering.
Oh dear. No words, really. No words. Good to be here.
We don't have any French listeners. That's fine. And last but by no means least, you're at home, Patrice. Why are you not at the office, mate?
Decided this morning, I was kind of running late, that I would just work from it. Just stay here for the show and then switch over. I mean, the office is literally 3 minutes away, so walking distance 3 minutes. Can just decide.
Good if you forget something.
Yes, definitely. Which happens often, very
he's
often.
He's only been there a month and he's running the place. I'll work from home when I come.
No, we're an international project, so we're kind of relaxed with, working from home. I mean, all the meetings in the morning, I mean, I start at 6:30 sometimes with meetings. I mean, obviously. I don't go to the office around that time.
So I thought you might have actually introduced them to bridging days.
not yet. But I heard that France had a couple of them. France had actually a couple of them last couple of weeks.
Cool. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, all the shiz that's happened. I love this. The Samsung Galaxy S9 has released an advert that compares itself to the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's comparing itself to the iPhone 6.
Oops.
1 minute, the clip shows a man becoming increasingly frustrated with their seemingly glacially slow iPhone 6. So then they get a Samsung Galaxy S9. If you've had enough of your Samsung, if you've had enough of your iPhone 6, then you can go and get a Samsung. I expect a small increase in performance, perhaps. Yeah. That's got to be the biggest loss possible for Samsung.
Is this opposed to paying the $29 for a new battery?
It could be, yeah. Is that what you think it is? They're going for the battery replacement market.
Right. Yeah. That's what it seems like to me, right? That's what they're talking about. You've got an old iPhone that's Apple slowed down on purpose, right? So they're trying to leverage that whole fiasco. So don't spend $29 on a new battery. Get it, switch to Samsung.
Get our devices, because our devices vaporize the battery. No?
Yeah.
Or the battery vaporizes the device.
Not you. If you wanted to time travel, buy a Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
Yeah, I mean, the iPhone 6 is a 4-year-old device, so yes. Yes, you will get more performance out of a newer device.
How do you know? Well, this is the test, Patrice. How do you know that the 6 is slow? I bought one for my son, and all I get in my ear is, "Dad, can I have a new phone?" Can you believe, Patrice, that we went and bought that 3 years ago for him?
3 years ago, really?
Yeah, wow. He got a 6S, so it's not quite that bad. But yeah,
November, December, 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, I was going to buy him a 5, and he just kept going on about how the fact he was going to get beaten up by all the other kids if he had a 5 and not a 6, so I bought him a 6. He was a good
he was very happy.
He was very happy, and he took the piss significantly with the dewy eyes and the mm-hmm. the big the cat look out of Shrek.
He's a lucky kid. My kids get the hand-me-downs, or they buy their own.
Yeah, I mean, I had a real moment actually last night. I was quite chuffed with this. I went to we were out over for a curry with Mark Beams, and I said we were talking about phone. And I said, well, I'm due an upgrade in September when the new one comes out, so I'm probably going to get one then. And the wife just looked and went, yes. And I'm like, did I just get my pass stamp for a new phone? My wife just told me it's okay to get a new phone in September. I'm not going to get any grief over this. I don't think she's realised she's done that. I think she's going to regret that.
Yes.
What's really funny is my son had an iPhone 4S, and I mean that the screen was cracked, the speaker wasn't working anymore, what else was it? Other one of the buttons wasn't working. And I went and got him a 5S, and he comes up to me and goes, I'm all right with this. I'm all right with this. There's no speaker. One of the buttons isn't working. Because it's fine. I can hardly see the text on the screen. But I think I'm so blessed, really, because he's always been that since he was a kid. You know, his trainers would quality be falling off his feet when he was in school. I mean, he's 22 now. But he was at school. His trainers would be falling off his feet. And you go and buy some new trainers. You go, I know, I'm fine with these. So I think I've been really blessed that he's been just happy to roll.
He likes the well-used stuff. That's cool.
He does. But I've managed to move him over to the 5S now. And of course, he's got the fingerprint control and that sort of stuff. So he's actually loving it. But it's a funny old thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ellis likes his Arachis, his Nike Arachis. And we bought him some Arachis. And then Sharon came over and said, we need to get Ellis some more Arachis. And I'm like, what on earth is wrong with the last lot that we just bought him? She went, they're two sizes too small. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was it was a passage of time. You know, it had actually been quite a long time since we bought the last lot of Arachis, probably nearly a year. And he's been wearing them to death because he loves them, and he's scared he won't get any new ones. So he's and he's tears. He's got club toes. Because he thought if he told us that he was he needed new Arachis, we'd go no, and he'd have to wear crappy ones then.
They grow like weeds at that age. Oh, you know?
Ellis, unreal. He's a completely different kid now. He's 6'1".
Jeez.
He's 14 years old and he's 6 foot one. That's just...
What are you feeding him? Does sleep, sleeping grow that grow compass stuff, does he?
BGH.
Growth hormone. Yeah.
That's it. I'm glad. Back to the news. I would say Samsung have made a... always done this, haven't they? They've always compared their phones to Apple. And I've always found it interesting that Apple must just sit there and love it. You know, any kind of onus on them is good. You know, it's good for them, people making them aware that people do queue up to an iPhone still. And, I've always found it bizarre that they've always played on it, you know. And I'm glad that Apple don't do that anymore with the whole Mac and Windows thing. We kind of come away from that. Samsung's putting that drum.
Their latest iPhone ads do that, though. The split-screen ones where, they don't call out any specific company, right, but they're basically slamming Android, and it's an Android versus iOS thing.
Definitely an American thing. That would never go down well here.
I've not seen that.
They don't play those ads over there?
No, I'm going to say I've not seen that. No,
they're real esoteric. You know, it'll be like, I can't even remember. You know, it'll be somebody sitting in front of a painting portrait thing, and it just has a flat look. And then there's, so they make it real monotone on one side of the screen, and then the other side of the screen is bright colors. And, the woman's taking her selfies, and she's got all the portrait lighting effects and stuff like that. And, she walks from the one side to the other side, implying that switch to an iPhone.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the last round of ads that they ran.
If the best thing you've got to say about your product is what's wrong with your opponent's product, then you've got a problem with your own product.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way that the British would certainly view it that way. They're not into that kind of stuff at all. Interesting one. Now, do you remember the other week I was slagging off and saying, with the little girl advert where they look up and they go, what's a computer?
Right.
Remember that advert? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to prove to you now that actually we were all wrong and Apple is right. I did, my son did a production. He's into his acting. He likes doing acting. He's a member of his academy's acting troupe, if you like. And they did a rendition of Bugsy Malone on Monday. So on Saturday, I went out to the school and I said to the teacher, do you want me to do some promo photos that you can use in the programs? And she's like, that'd be amazing. Thank you for doing that. No problem at all. So I took a load of photos and then I put them up on my server and I did them as a zip file. And I sent the link to Ellis and I said, forward that to all your mates and get them to download the zip file and they can have all the photos. And they're all full resolution. So they'll blow up into wallpaper if that's what they actually want. And he went, oh, that's really cool. Thanks very much, Dad. And he said, no one can get them. What do you mean? There's something wrong with the file. No, it's a zip file, Ellis. He said, it's not any pictures. I said, no, it's not pictures. It's a zip file. You'll have to download it on a computer and open it. And then you can do what you like with the pictures. Well, no one can open it. Well, they won't. They'll need to go to their desktop computer or their laptop. And they'll need to do it on their laptop. And then they can use it. And he went, none of them have got access to a computer, Dad.
Shocking, right?
What? Every 14-year-old in the acting group has no access to a computer. So the what's a computer line is bloody real, and it's here and it's now. I was gobsmacked. None of those kids have got a desktop computer or a laptop computer available in their household at all. Everyone is doing everything on phones and tablets. And I was I was floored, absolutely floored.
Now I'm curious, because a big thing over here for a lot of schools and stuff like that, and a lot of parents buy kids, if they don't buy them a tablet, they all have phones, but if they don't buy them a tablet, it's a Chromebook. And I would assume a Chromebook can do a zip file, but maybe not. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Where's it put it? I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah.
But it's all in the cloud, so.
Where's it put it, right?
It's got Google Docs. Like it stays, everything stays in the cloud pretty much, I think. But I don't know. I don't know much about Chromebooks, to be honest. Other than my kids hate them. But I've poisoned their minds.
Well, so this is an interesting thing to Adam, because your kids are kind of similar to Ellis's age, I guess, just a little bit beyond. So it'd be interesting to ask them how many of their friends do not have access to a computer.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the true sense that we know. And I mean, the answer may shock you.
Yeah, well, just based on my daughter's usage, you know, she has access to, she has MacBook Air that's kind of like the kid's computer. It's the extra computer floating around the house. They used to have iPads, but they were original iPad minis, and I just got one of them back because they're like, I can't use this anymore. This is worthless. But they both have phones, and they do especially my older daughter, she prefers to do everything on her phone. Like, she'll do keynotes on her phone for school. Yeah. And it's like, drives me batty. I'm like, you have a MacBook Air. Why are you? No, I this is fine. I like doing this.
Yeah.
And she does amazing things on that thing. Like, it's, that's her computer. For
Bob Beach is piling
80%
in.
Of the stuff, you know.
Bob Beach is coming in. He's saying perhaps they get laptops later on, because many of the 18-year-olds that I teach have laptops. So that might be a school thing, perhaps. But certainly, there's nothing in the household. I said to them, go and see, use their dad's computers or something like that. They don't have access to one. There isn't.
I don't know how it is over there, but I mean, here there are a lot of even students going to college. There is a big debate. Do they need a laptop, or do I just get them an iPad or a tablet? And a lot of people are just opting for the tablet option because they're much more portable. The batteries last longer. You know, you can get a full day out of them versus, you know, hours. And
you have the option,
for taking notes and
especially with the new iPad or the iPad Pro, you have the option to use the pencil, things like that. So that makes a lot of things easier.
You know, I think we're in transition, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Ewan. And so, I mean, as silly as Apple's commercial was for sort of pushing the idea, I think it is something that's naturally happening. And I do think younger kids are more used to phones and tablets, and that's going to become the new norm. And
I didn't see a world without a computer, and yet there we are.
Yeah.
I mean, it does obviously bode well for what may come in WWDC next month. I mean, there's been no leaks. It's been quite a bizarre run-up to this, because I would have guessed we'd heard something by now. And as this month creeps along, we still had nothing from there. So maybe it is software that they can keep hold of and nobody knows anything about it yet. I'm just really intrigued to see where this is going to go.
Me too.
I've obviously got this training material coming out soon, and my initial idea with the training material was to make it a downloadable file, which is obviously going to be around 3.5 gigabytes to download. And what actually it did was, when I sent it off to the people to test it, they were kind of like, I've got to download it, can't I just see it online? I'm going, no, you can't, you've got to go to your computer, download it, and then you can watch it. And they're like, look at me going, but I want to watch it on the sofa with my headphones in with the kids watching TV. And I'm going, well, hang on a minute, if they want to do that already, they're my testers, they don't want to download a 3.5 gig folder. And of course, one of the people who tested it, because they're using Safari to download the 3.5 gig file, it of course timed out halfway through. And I had to tell them to download Fox, FLOX, you know, the download manager. So I was running into these problems before I've even thought about kind of releasing the software. I kind of went, do you know what? I've got to just change my whole mind and do a streaming service. So obviously I've had to change my whole platform to make it that it's now streaming. And obviously you can do it on any iPhone or iPad. But that was a big thing for me, really, but a big learning curve to say, well, yeah, my customers aren't probably going to want to download 3.5 gig. Well, they may all own computers, but actually when they want to watch training material, they can actually want to sit there with their iPhone on the commute to work, or maybe, you know, on their iPad, let's say at night while watching the TV. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's really made me think about it as well, Ewan. It really has the direction it's going. Sure.
No, I think I think you're probably even, this is probably even true of the millennial market at 17 to 34, but certainly for the up to 17s, I think there could be I'm a dinosaur to think that I'd want to do anything on a laptop or a desktop, and I'd be a moron to actually try and sell anything that was for laptop or desktop. And I think the Apple's not learning its own lesson to a certain degree there, because if you look at the Surface is like using a Windows computer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's not different. Whereas iOS is extremely different from the Mac interface. And actually, if Apple was to think about doing the Mac interface on a tablet as an option, I think that would be realistically a good thing for them to do, but then that's going to really kill sales of the MacBook and the MacBook Pro.
You're backing into it the wrong way. That's the problem. Yeah. Again, going back to, talk to Ellis and his friends, or my example of how my daughter uses her iPhone for everything. They're growing up in a world where what we do on the desktop is weird and archaic. You know, they'll look at us and go like, that is bizarre. Why are you doing it that way? So the way forward is that they're just using tablets and they're able to do things that I don't even think about. It's just so natural to them. And I have all my preconceived notions of, I want this to be more like my desktop. I still struggle with the whole file system and dealing with that. But to them, there's nothing unusual about that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's how it works. Okay, cool.
It's not about bringing the desktop to iOS. It's about bringing iOS up to a productivity/quality standard of what we expect from a desktop. That's what's missing. The apps, the quality. And Apple so far... only adding features and updating the iPad every couple of years definitely doesn't help with that.
Again, I would argue we're on the cusp of even that not being an argument anymore. You've got people producing entire, Hollywood films on mobile devices and iPads now. So, maybe the workflows aren't as seamless or as natural to people who have been working on a desktop, but for those that are starting at that place of tablets and iPhones, I think all the productivity tools are there. It's just, we have such a hard time backing into them because of our history, our preconceived notions of what computers are and how they're supposed to work and that sort of thing. I think if you could leave your body and leave all that stuff behind and approach everything like a baby, basically, like you don't know any technology, I think you'd very quickly get to the workflows and see that all that productivity and the apps are really there. It's just a different workflow that is foreign to us.
If you look at what we're doing right now, just take a moment to think what we're doing now. I know me and Adam have got a mic here, but the two of the guys have got AirPods. They've got an iOS device, and they're able to actually do what we're doing right now. And actually, it's funny because my pick for today. Oh, there you go. Okay. But my pick today that I'll go to later is a good example of what we're talking about right now. It's funny how we don't need these big machines to achieve a lot of what we're doing right now. There's Will Green.
Hello, chaps.
Here he is.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hot off the hamster wheel.
You pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask why we don't just all go back to typewriters.
Magic Man's made a comment in the chat room. He says, it's semantic. The phone is a computer. No, it's not. It's a mobile device. And I think there's a definite separation between what a computer is and what a mobile device is. Because as far as I see it, computers are far more faceted than a mobile device. But the point that Deepan then makes is, I work in an industry where we provide people with technical solutions for non-technical people. Everyone is using the iPad as a user interface model now, not a keyboard or a desktop. And I think that's the key point. They're not interested in computers in the way that we see it as a computer. But I'm sorry, what you've got in your pocket is not a computer. It is not as faceted. It is not as versatile. It is not as available it was more available, but it's not as, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, but it's not as free form. It's constrained. That's my real problem with the mobile device as a computer.
But then in some ways too, it's more faceted, right?
Yeah.
It's got more sensors. It's got more capabilities than a lot of your computers.
Yeah.
Also especially more in the areas of photography, video, audio recording.
I don't even want to start thinking about what I do as a workflow on a mobile device. Not a chance.
Yeah, I've got opportunity to buy an iPad Pro 12.5-inch, a current generation one, and it's a really good price point. And part of me just goes, it's such a good deal, I should just buy it. But then half of me goes, I just won't use it.
You won't.
I just
need a greater
Yeah, I just keep, I refer back to my, I mean, obviously I'm having a bad enough job trying to get this MacBook to work and then having to think about buying an iMac. And even that, going from a desktop solution to a mobile laptop solution, is a big deal for me because I want to expect it to do everything that I'm used to doing. And not having a computer on my lap when I'm watching TV will be a massive pull for me. And if somehow Apple in WWDC happened to say, hey, guess what? We can fuse the two together. This is how you're going to jump between them. This will be massive. It'll be huge. So I'm really kind of hoping, maybe foolishly, I don't know, but that future might be around the corner. Who knows?
No.
I mean, I can give you an opposite point. I mean, I have an iPad Pro, and I use it about for 80-90% of what I do.
Was that?
I mean, this show and a couple of... I said I only use it for 80-90% of what I do. So... this show and a couple of smaller other things, video editing, are the only things that I do on a laptop. Everything else, basically, the MacBook stays in my bag for most days of the week.
Are you not coding?
Not too much. And I actually am coding anymore. Not too much. I'm actually coding on my iPad quite a bit. So if I do it, I actually do it on my iPad. So...
I haven't made that transition yet. I'm probably about 50-50, maybe 60-40, 60% on my iPad. I prefer it for doing a lot of my research and notes and those sorts of things. Yeah. But I still have to do all my coding and development on the... And again, I say that knowing that that's because I have a preconceived notion of how I should be coding, right? I mean, the tools exist where I could change my workflow, but I'm a dinosaur... And I don't want to move my workflow to a cloud-based thing. I like having a local server to develop on, and that's really not possible. I mean, it's somewhat possible on the iPad, but it's just not there to the level that my laptop is. But I mean, I could easily spin up an Amazon instance and build all that stuff on that and use that from my iPad. It's just I'd be having to do everything through the cloud, and that just changes my workflow in a way that I'm not willing to do it. But I will not say that it's not possible. And I bet you there's a ton of people that use that kind of a workflow. I mean, the tools exist now to make that change. Yeah. I just don't want to.
And if you want to take your iPad to the toilet, you can, can't you? It's difficult with the MacBook. So if you...
Toilet human. Here we come.
No, but if you want to... die watching internet porn on
what?
The
what?
Crazy. On the toilet, a la Elvis.
I'm not buying his iPad off him.
The iPad.
This was a show that was viable for sponsorship until Will Green turned up.
Yeah.
Every week.
I'm only just saying. I mean, the iPad is a lot more flexible, isn't it? So you can take it to the toilet.
I think if we go back to the same old thing, you know, we have a luxury of owning, and I've said this before on the show, that we have a luxury of owning either a MacBook or an iMac or even a Pro device. If somebody came along and took those off us and said, right, you have to use an iPad Pro, maybe with a mechanical keyboard, that's fine. You have to use this from now on. God damn, we'd find a way, wouldn't we? We would. Yeah. But the thing is, we have choice. So we say we're not going to do that. And I think that's great that we have that. But what I am scared there's going to come to a point where that might be something that is taken away from us. But my iPad, I mean, I sort of got this horrible iPad Air 2 thing. And it is so slow. It is awful. And that's what they're going to do to... That's what happens to devices when they do get old. It doesn't make it great, does it? That whole experience. Yes, it works, but it's rubbish.
What I always say is, you know, I don't think any of this stuff is going away. I think just like all technologies, over time, a certain technology becomes more dominant than maybe another one. And I do think that mobile devices and tablets are going to be more dominant for a while. But I mean, we're also talking about adding a lot of non-screened interfaces to our day-to-day computing stuff. And that's a big part of the future. And AR and virtual reality is a whole nother thing that's going to creep its way in there. So I only see the future as being actually more options and more devices and really more choices. And you're going to pick the one that's the right one for whatever task you have to achieve at the moment, right? Like home automation, it makes sense with voice interfaces and not having screens. And there's a lot of applications technology-wise where that's going to be the thing that we're going to do. And there's certain applications that are always, I think, always going to require more of a, you know, what I guess Steve Jobs always called the truck, right? You're going to need a truck every once in a while to get a task done. And, you know, heavy lifting, I think video editing and image editing and stuff like that still is a computer is probably still the best tool. That may change eventually, but I don't see that happening.
You're
really
gonna have to
soon.
Be careful, Adam, because to say that the voice is the best thing for home automation, you're going to run the risk of the ire of Rob in the chat room, because his view is that if you have to talk to home automation, it's not home automation.
Oh, yeah. Well, the automation part. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's going to get more sophisticated too. But my point being is, like, I think we're getting to more types of computing devices and the definition of a computer or computing device is also being morphed into something larger than we have. It has been for a long time. So I think a lot of what we're talking about here is the fact that we're going to have more computing devices and not less. And the thing is we're going to be spending probably less time on notebooks and laptops and more time in other areas. I'm already seeing it in my life. Patrice is already seeing it in his life. Maybe you guys aren't there yet. But like I said, you know, 70% of what I do is my iPad and my phone, and 40% is my computer. And every year that seems to push more away from the desktop.
There's a few comments to catch up on in the chat room here. First one to say is that Bob Beach is saying, I'm increasingly thinking that Microsoft has got the right approach with the Surface Pro, running desktop programs, but also touch. The Surface Pen is nearly as good as the Apple Pencil now. And I think he's right. I think there is iOS was a thing for the start, but I think it has to evolve from where it currently is. So a good point there, Bob. And there's a great point. I love this. I think this is exactly it. Magic Man says, not this bit. Magic Man says, so a smart TV is a computer. Well, technically, maybe it will be. That's not what we're talking about. Deep Pan has put the definition, as far as I'm concerned, and I can't see it now. Oh, here we go. Yeah, the computer is like a Swiss Army knife. It can be adapted to do virtually anything. The phone or tablet is like a filleting knife. It's not as versatile, but very good at the uses that it's been customized for. And I think that's exactly right. The desktop computer is massively fatter in comparison, but the pen and the tablet does an amazing job.
I totally disagree with that. I think it's a matter of perspective. Again, I think you could find people that are doing everything that you're doing on a desktop computer, on a laptop, and I bet you could find someone that's doing all that stuff on a phone too. It might not be as easy. It might not be the workflow that you prefer, but the capabilities are there.
Okay, stop there. James, do you fancy having a go at doing the Thames Link animation that we did on a tablet? Don't swear, we're live.
I'm not talking about fancying doing it. I'm saying, is it able to be done? Is it possible?
No, it's not. It's not even possible.
It's no, and I think, trust me, I keep a keen eye on anything 3D in the App Store. There's some good apps at the moment that if you hold your camera and you go around an object on your iPhone, it creates a brilliant 3D model of it, and it does all that computer power in the sky, which I think is incredible. And that, you know, it's using your phone, obviously, to create high-resolution images. It's using the fact that you rotate it to kind of get the idea of scale, and it's using the cloud to actually compute all that together. All that's really, really exciting. But as for sitting down and actually trying to use an iPad the thing is, this will come in time. I can see it coming in time, but I would certainly still require a pointing device. To be able to do that. And obviously we saw some early hacks of when the iPad came out that somebody actually managed to use a mouse with an iPad. I don't even remember, that was some years ago when the first iPad came out.
Okay.
It's definitely doable, and that's something that, for me, if I could take an iPad Pro and do stuff I do in motion in iPad Pro, oh my God, would I throw my computer at it? It'd be a tough one, but I think it'd be something I'd use as a secondary device for sure.
I think AstroPad is a great example of where you can go with the tablet desktop interface. AstroPad is fantastic for interaction with... I'm cutting out a pile of watches at the moment from a background because the guy that photographed them put them on a teak table. Ooh. So I've got a pile of silver watches that have all got wood in the underside of the band in the reflection. I'm like, oh, you are kidding me.
Nobber.
So I've got to cut them all out to a white background, and then I've got to get rid of all of the brown on the bottom. And AstroPad has made that into a very, very enjoyable task. And the thing is, as well, I've noticed, if you look in Photoshop, the free form selection tool, you know, the lasso tool, mm-hmm. I never use that. I never, ever use the free form lasso tool unless I'm on iPad Pro and I'm using the pencil. And then it's my favorite tool. Well, I've never used it for 10 years.
It all sorts of boils down to GPU, doesn't it? Let's be honest. That's the massive difference. And reading my show notes, the new rumors.
Who got show notes? I've not got show notes.
I got show notes.
You
stole Adam's.
Yeah, you just go to Adam and you can get them all. They're awesome. And the big rumors for June the 4th, is it? The WWDC anyway, for the new MacBook Pro is essentially it's not going to be that different except for the GPU. Apparently the GPU is getting a massive boost. So there we go.
This is for the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, MacBook Pro, yeah.
The GPUs, so the keyboard's not getting a massive boost, and the touch bar's not getting, and all the things that don't work aren't getting a massive boost.
No, they're not changing. There are.
Bad luck, James.
Fuck you, I'm going to swear. Fuck, man.
I'm going to win it.
Well, the only rumors. Adam probably will be able to say more about this than I can. But the rumors are that nothing much is going to change. The keyboard's going to stay the same. The screen's going to stay the same. Everything. It's just maybe a bit of a speed boost, but it's they're putting a new GPU processor in there.
We are 50 minutes into the show, and I haven't done a serious story yet.
Well, I think it's
a great story. And I've still got one more frivolous story to do before we get to the serious stories.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
OnePlus pokes fun at Apple's headphone jack removal. This is another I'm wrong. Okay, I just want to say, up to this point, this has been the whole show far as me going, you're right, I'm wrong. OnePlus again pokes fun at Apple's headphone jack removal. And they did a launch of their Bluetooth headphones. And they also said, but don't worry, because we've got a version whereby you can still plug it into your device. And I've got to say, dinosaurs, because I'm sorry. I whinged and moaned about the removal of the headphone jack, and I couldn't give a stuff. that my iPhone hasn't got a headphone jack anymore. These things are the best thing ever made by Apple.
Joyous. They're joyous.
You're talking out your butts, OnePlus.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just something else, isn't it? It's just something else to pick up on. You know, we're over it. Anybody who knows the story is over it. Anybody who's put AirPods in their ear are over it, you know, and I think Apple have done a good job at introducing those at the right time, for sure.
How many times has Apple done this to us, though, too? That's the thing I remember when this stuff happens, right? The floppy drive. God, we were all, oh, my God, we're going to die.
CD drive.
The floppy, the CDs go, oh, my God, we're going to die.
Well, yeah, I mean, just take even software, Adam, you know, look at Final Cut when that came out. Everybody went and bought, PCs and went to Premiere Pro. The minute they introduced, and I remember this so well, multicam editing in Final Cut 10. Oh, my God. And I think the title of the story was The Sound of a Thousand Jaws Hitting the Floor when Apple showed multicam editing, because it took, I think, 7 or 8 months after the launch of Final Cut 10 to come out, that they introduced multicam editing back in. But through those 7, 8 months, Apple got an absolute pounding over the interface of Final Cut 10. So, yes, we've seen it in software and definitely seen it in hardware too. Yeah.
But they have done things like USB.
Yeah, but if you look at things like iWork, the iWork suite is still dumbed down from where it was when it was iOS 8.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not right.
I would agree, but remember that was because the cross-platform between iOS, there was a lot you could do when it was just a Mac, like Pages, for example, was incredible, absolutely great. And when it went to iOS, it just looked like some kid had designed it, and a lot of the features were really, really either hidden or just taken out completely. I was actually doing training in the Apple Store at that point, and there was a lot of frustrated people with Pages.
Apparently, Magic Man is I don't know why he's not watching the live feed on YouTube, because he's actually watching the not quite live feed on the BTN site. And he said, it's funny because Greeny's on the BTN site now from May 2014, slagging off the new MacBook Pro.
I wasn't slagging off.
Apparently you were.
What, 10 years ago?
No, 2014, you muppet.
Oh, right, okay.
It's my turn to slag it off now. 2017, 18. What are you in?
Great point as well here. Bob Beach has just chimed in and said, iWork is now miles behind Office 365, and that's on the tablet and on the desktop. And there's the issue. There's a big issue.
I would agree. The pencil big support, issue. Amazing on the on Word especially.
Yeah, and I mean, I tried it. You can edit any document anywhere. You go to the native apps, you go to the website, I mean, you can collaborate on them. It's, I would say it's almost as good or maybe even better in some instances as Google Docs.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
Did somebody say Google?
Yeah.
I just realized I kept myself on the camera there. Sorry.
Well, I'm very much, at the moment, I'm working for a company in Sweden who are moving from Google Docs to 365. And 365 is not a patch on Google Docs. There is so much more. 365 is what it is, but it's very, very limited. You know, with Google Docs, you can create scripts and you can use Google Script to sort of manipulate your data and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more than 365 is. So if you're into AI or machine learning or big data or just regular what's the word I'm looking for? Productivity on a cloud environment, then Google screams. It's fantastic. 365 is very limited when it comes to sort of trying to manipulate data, and it doesn't say you can't bring any so you've got an Excel spreadsheet and you want to bring across your special macros that you've made, no chance, no way.
Mm.
Whereas you can replicate that in Google. I'll shut up now.
Actually technically brilliant.
Yeah, it was
absolutely agreeing. What have you done with him?
Yeah, what's your input? Back to the toilets with
you. It was like some sort of reasoned actual argument.
That was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Well, it's what Google. Yeah, I don't know. It's what I do. So
it is.
I love it.
And here's you bumbling through, making everyone believe you're a fool, and glory be.
This guy is not a fool.
No, I want to maintain my fool persona.
I'm working the idiot thing good here. Leave me alone.
just say, and plus you can use Google Docs in the loo, and you can't 365 or something.
That's it.
Yeah. There you go. That's the
point.
Right. I don't want this to be a long conversation. I just need an explanation, please, Adam.
Okay.
U.S. Senate votes to restore net neutrality. This is nothing to do with Apple. It's just we didn't do a big show last night, and I wanted to ask the question of the Americans. U.S. Senate votes to restore net neutrality, now expected to face a major hurdle in the House. Please explain to me how the U.S. political system works in terms of net neutrality and how this is not going to be easy when actually the House or the Senate has voted that it should be. So,
It just has to do with the number of representatives that are in the House, because there are many more. So with the Senate, you have two per state. So you have 100 guys, right? Whereas in the House, the number of representatives varies dependent upon the size of the state. So you have a lot more representatives in there. And so the distribution of the number of Republicans versus the number of Democrats in the House is different. So they need to get something like, in order to get this thing to pass, they have to get, I forget what the percentage is, but they need a number of Democrats to basically come across and vote for this thing. And that's not likely to happen. And even if they can pull that off, it still has to go to the president to get approved. And so he could kick the whole thing out. So, and he's right. Not, you know, everybody knows he's not, our current president is not a fan of the net neutrality thing. So
I would have said
one year regulation.
Okay.
It's just a number. It's a numbers game. It's purely a numbers game, and it has to do with the number of the representatives that are on whatever side of the.
So is your gut feeling line. That your net neutrality will be restored or not?
Oh no,
definitely not. Right, okay.
Not with the current administration, and not with the makeup of how the okay. House is. I mean, it's almost insurmountable. So
here we go then. Right. Thanks for that. I didn't want to take forever, but I just wanted to get it. So next, Ewan's wrong story. Apple sold an estimated 600,000 HomePod speakers during the first quarter of 2018. I know it's estimated,
yes,
but that's pretty impressive. I slagged that off, but here I am again going, well, maybe.
Even though Macworld says that's still a failure because Amazon sold more.
Well, Amazon's far more useful.
Well, and Amazon has had a longer time to sell the product as well.
Well, yeah, but it is better.
Yeah, definitely. I'm arguing against that.
In terms of little tiny speakers that you could put up in stores that would be absolutely amazing sounding, Apple wins hands down.
Hmm.
And why no one has created a bracket for these so that they stand upside down on the ceiling, I don't know, because they would be brilliant in a store. You know, just down the center, just have two or three of these things making up an amazing...
You can't stereo pair them yet. That's my biggest issue with Apple at this point is where the frick is the promised functionality of stereo pairs and multiple units and, like, why is that taking forever in a day?
But you've only got one, haven't you, Adam?
I do only have one. I might have more, though.
Yeah, Ewan, have you heard one yet?
Still not. Well, neither have you. So don't you pick me up on this every week, and you've not heard one either.
Mate, they're not available in France. That's why.
So why are you giving me grief over it?
Because I keep
you guys have an open invitation. You can come over here and listen to mine anytime you want.
Dude, I'm on the flight.
I'll even buy you some beer.
Sold.
Well, I'll definitely be in the UK on the 5th of June. I will definitely be in the UK 5th of June going forward for the month. So I will be...
Together.
Mate, I'd love to. Let's film it. And if it's any good, I'll buy it there and then.
Is there a single listener
in Birmingham that has a HomePod that'll let Ewan come over and listen to it?
Well, the second part of that might be the issue. There's probably someone in Birmingham who's got it who listens to the show, but whether they'll let me in their house or not is a different question.
He won't leave.
Don't go, says Muller. Mark Castle will only give you IPA.
Not true.
No, so here's the thing.
Thank you for a great
James
Scottish ale.
Yes,
okay, you. So here's the thing, right? When you come over, we will arrange to meet in the Birmingham store or Thurtwood, whichever.
Yeah.
And you'll use your influence to get us into a private use of the device, and we'll hear it. And then, when you love it and you actually like it, don't buy it in the Apple Store. I'll take you to our local Costco, and you can get it for £70 cheaper.
Wait,
no
Ewan?
Way. Really?
Really? Yes. Woke.
Does this mean you're going to buy my Play 5 Sonos off me then?
How much are you asking for it?
How much will you give me for it?
Oh, don't be a wanker.
Well, it's been used 4 times. It's sitting right here. I've got
that's
the box
not. It's still
it.
Second hand, mate. Come on, how much do you want for it?
Not a mark. But guys, help me out here. Suggestions by the chat room.
Wait, I have a thing about that influence thing. Ewan, do you still have Apple's business thing? Joint venture? Yeah, are you still in that program?
No, joint venture doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. I got chucked out. Well, no, actually, maybe they chucked me out.
But you probably still have contact with a business representative. I think at a lot of Apple stores, if you're a business customer, you can get access to the stores that have the private rooms. Like they will do exactly what you're saying for business customers.
No, we'll get one, mate. I'll get a room set out. We'll have the business suite, and I'll you're right. I've got
input. Right. Yeah. They have these business suites that if you're a business customer, you can ask to have
the one in the demo or something. The one in the Burmese store is beautiful. Angela Herrens actually used it to record one of the shows that she does for the retail employees on a regular basis if she's over in the UK. And the one in the, I don't know if you've been there, Ewan, but upstairs as you walk into Birmingham, you look up and that first window you see on the gallery is the business centre. And absolutely, I'll try and pull some strings so we can get in there and do it. But yeah, as a business customer, it's acceptable.
We'll video it.
Acceptable to all. It's acceptable to all, mate, so...
A lot of people don't know that, so I wanted to bring that up. If you are a business customer of Apple, you know, they will give you access to those rooms if you ask, I think.
No, I don't want to hear one. I just don't want to hear one.
I'm dying, mate. I'll buy two.
Do they work with your Apple TV?
Yeah.
Can you project your Apple TV to them?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a dangerous thing, because that means that I've got me soundbar that I bought the other day that's £169, and I love it. It is brilliant. I love it to bits. But it's a little bit soft on the voice over the bass, and I just think, oh. And if I went and heard one of these, I'd justify myself, okay, I can spend £300 on one. I'll go to Costco, and I'll buy one, and I'll bring it home, and I'll stick it on the TV and use it for the Apple TV, because it would just be so much better. I'm going to end up buying a HomePod, and I said I wasn't going to. See, this is the you and his wrong show. I'm not.
I'll be honest with you. As I said, in France, I've been to lots of Apple stores around here, which obviously are just premium resellers, but they do look like Apple stores in front. They're beautiful, beautiful stores. But of course, you ask them about it and go, not available. So I've just not even got to hold one or see one up close and personal. It's one of the things I will be doing when I come back to the UK in June, for sure. But there, let's make that happen, Ewan, absolutely.
The HomePod is just an expensive plant pot, Stan, so Muller might be joining us then. Muller, says Bob Beach. Yes, we know you love it, says James.
We know Bob loves this. He's always got a good word to say about it.
Deep Pan says, I'd like to go to the VIP rooms. Is there red velvet rope barriers?
There is. They use the chrome ones for the iPhone launches and things like that, but no way.
£307 at Costco at the moment if you want one. They've found a way of not charging you the VAT. And I spoke to Ball Scott in the Slack room, and I said, that's amazing, because actually that price is ex-VAT. So are you sure they're not adding the VAT on at checkout? And he went through the whole checkout process to the point of, are you sure? And he said, no, they didn't add VAT to it. So it's probably
two five.
So if I buy one, I can get the VAT back on it as well.
Yes, winning. But I think it'd be a big once the stereo AirPlay 2 comes out, I think that's going to be a massive plus point for people wanting to get that stereo pair and set it up. Anybody's got one now, Bob Beach, who loves it, we'll definitely buy a second one and do that stereo thing. And I think I'll play ahead of. I know, I'm sure it's in my...
I'm going to buy one, you bastard, Rickard. I'm going to buy one.
Well, mate, I'm looking forward to it now. I'm actually looking forward to going and having a little listen.
Right, we've got that. We're definitely doing it. When you're back in the UK, we're sorting it out. And I'm going to give you your charger for your bloody phone as well that I've had for six sodding months.
And please... And please, can I find out how good Kismet is as well? Because you keep banging on about it.
Oh, yeah. Come and stay at ours then that night. Come and stay over here. We'll do the whole thing. I'll meet you in Birmingham, then I'll drag you back here. We'll go to Costco and buy your own bod. And then we'll come back to here. You can stay at our place, and we'll go and have Kismet and beer.
Sorted.
And then I'll shove you out the door in the morning. You can make your own money.
Here's a bus ticket. Off you go. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. Anyone plan to be here for 2 hours? Because that's the way it's looking. Apple Watch bands in the spring collection are beginning to dwindle in availability. Mm-hmm. And also, and this is the big one, because the watch bands thing is just an Angela Ploy thing. She's a cunning lady. Apple begins to sell out of the airport base stations. And I thought that was really interesting as a story, because my question is that a dead product now? Is that just a
corner? Yeah, Apple announced it. Apple said, oh, right, Apple okay. officially said, We're not making them anymore. Yeah. What we have in stock in the store is what's left, and you get them now while they're so people are stockpiling them. You know, they're putting them in their freezers.
Why is that particularly brilliant? I don't get that.
Yeah, some people absolutely love them. I received so many emails from people who are concerned because they have just Airport Expresses and all they use them for is AirPlay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, I got three, I got five, and my whole house is wired with Airport Expresses. What am I going to do? Like, get a Sonos. I don't know.
Yes. Wait for AirPlay 2.
Yeah.
What's AirPlay 2 bringing to a Sonos system? Remind me.
Basically multi-room AirPlay. So the same what you can do with the HomePod.
Right.
So for anything that you can't... If there's not a native app for Sonos that can run whatever you want to run on it, you'll be able to use AirPlay to, you know, like you would with your Apple TV for video apps that don't support, you know, Apple TV.
So when I bring down notification center or if I listen to a podcast, I will be able to select my Play 5 as a speaker.
Multiple Play 5s or Play 3s, you know, you can send it all over the house.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I think it's only the Play 5 and the Sonos One, the new Play 5 and the Sonos One are supported, though, at least for AirPlay.
Interesting.
Really?
And supposedly they'll have HomeKit and Siri support at some point as well, too, right?
Mm, oh, God.
That's what they're saying.
Is there any support for Siri?
That's what it needs. In a Sonos Play 5, probably not.
Yeah, this is the Siri's the only Apple product where someone goes, there's Siri support, and you think it's support for Siri, not the other way around.
Yes.
Apple continues to expand its self-driving car fleet. Now, the picture's amazing. If we were at the Wirecast and we had that and all that kind of stuff, then I'd show you the picture because it looks like it's got like... Close Encounters of the Third Kind sound generator thing on the top of it. Is Apple using this for a Street Viewy type thing again, or is it?
Well, are we talking about their self-driving cars or their mapping cars? Because they have both.
Well, I'm talking about the self-driving cars. And the thing that's amazing me with this is that every time Apple does something, there's an awful lot of pundits who come in and get very close to the truth about, Gruber, etc. They get very close to the truth about what's actually happening. And with the self-driving car fleet, no one has come out with a logical explanation why on earth Apple is doing that. And everyone's going, it's clearly, it's about the software, it's about the interaction, it's about the in-car stuff. But no one's come out with anything further.
I've said it a million times, they're building car as a service.
Yeah.
They're building car as a service. And whether they roll it out with their own fleet of cars or whether they sell it off to, you know, an Uber or somebody like that. It's don't buy a car, pay us, you know, $300 a month or whatever, and you'll just have access to a vehicle when and where you need it. Mm-hmm. Call it up with your phone or your tablet.
And mind you, the insurance,
you don't pay, you know, it's all in one payment. Everything's covered.
Yeah, the services already exist in the U.S., by the way. There's, I think in Detroit, you can already get that. Not self-driving cars, but cars as a service.
Yeah.
They turn up, so how do you get
that's
the cars?
That's what I think they're doing. I think that's why they invested in Didi Chung. I think that's going to be their big R&D platform in China to figure it all out and how it's going to work. And then they're going to either, I don't know how they're going to market it. But I'm convinced that's the autonomous system that Tim Cook says that they're working on. They want to build the ultimate system. And I think a big play for them is selling services on top of that, meaning that now you're in the car, you're not driving. Well, we're going to sell you video services and music services and entertainment services and productivity services and whatever it might be on top of that.
Mm. And based on Apple's own content, a good night's sleep as well then.
Yeah. I'm super excited about their shows. I don't know that the all the rumors of the shows and the caliber of people that they're signing up and the writers and producers and the Zach and what's his name that are behind that from Sony. I hold high hopes for what Apple is doing. So we'll see. But I'm not judging them based on past performance. Yeah.
I am.
Because it's not the same people running. It's not the same people running that part of it.
That's true.
Magic Man has said, James, you've got a curry to look forward to, mate.
Looking forward to it, mate.
Right, we're doing it. We're definitely doing it. I'm not sure what I'm doing. 5th of June, is it?
Well, I'll be there for the month, so we've got plenty of time. But I want to hear that home pod pretty damn quickly.
Hey, dude, I'm talking one night of curry and then you're out the door. You're not listening.
Not into the room, no. It's me, two dogs, wife, and the other son.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Do you fancy, because I've got to go down and see Andy Vaughan on the 6th in Bristol, and I've got a meeting. I've got a drinking session on the 5th. And then I've got to drive to Bristol, but you could come to Bristol with me and see Vaughan for the day. And then
working out your schedule makes great for great podcasting.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. And then on the 8th, well, what do we do this, though? On the 8th, you can do the Mac Show live in the studio with me, and we can do the HomePod thing in the morning on the 8th.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I might be a granddad by then. That's the reason why I'm coming over. So I'm going to be very careful not to organize anyone. Wives will kill me.
Hey, Will, can you help them like understand how to send like a Google Cal thing?
Yeah, I'm sure I can do that,
James. That's going to be a great warm-up day, because we've got the HomePod thing in the morning, then we'll do the Mac Show at the studio, and we'll have a curry afterwards. And when you get up in the morning, guess what's going to be on the telly?
No idea.
Trooping of the Colour, mate. It'll be a real British welcome home. And I can't believe that Apple in the calendar, or Google in the calendar, has given me Trooping as a Colour as an important as Queen's birthday. So this podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Again, we always say every week that they look after us, and you should look after them. And that loyalty is something that we really value, and so do they. If you do anything with UK2, then please take your time this week and say thanks to UK2 for supporting British Tech on Twitter or Instagram or wherever your platform is. At UK2, at British Tech, and we appreciate your efforts. And also, as well, if you'd like to support us, we do need subscriptions. We pay for Kyle to do the news show every single day. That costs us money, and we've got stuff that we need to buy, general tech equipment and audio equipment. We've got to support the studio. We may have to end up buying Wirecast the way it's looking at the minute, because we haven't heard back from Telestream yet. And if that's the case, then that's a good expenditure. We could really do with that. So please go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions. You can give us $5, $10, or $20. $5 doesn't even cover a coffee in the morning, but it would make a massive difference to us at this end. We don't do anything for profit in here. So everything that we get from you guys that you give to us goes straight back into the network, and it just provides us with equipment to do broadcasting, or it provides with stuff for Kyle. So please support us if you possibly can. Time for the cool thing then. Start us off. And by the way, James, I want your cool thing to be whatever the 3D thing is that you walk around with your phone and you get the picture back at the end of it, because I want that.
Okay, let me just
remember. Have a look. Okay. I'll just give you a fair warning, mate. Adam, what's your cool thing?
So I have an iOS app, and again, I think Patrice may be able to back me up on this. I can't remember, because I have this tickle in the back of my mind that Patrice maybe picked this thing, but... you know, a lot of people complain about like sort of document management and stuff on the iPad. And this is actually something that can help. Ewan's walking away, but the whole thing he started off the podcast with dealing with zip files on iOS, because that's been a problem for me. I'll be working on my iPad and need to download some sort of file that maybe doesn't have native file support. And zip files are a great example of that. There's workarounds I've used in the past, like use documents from Readle, which will let you pull up a web browser and sort of download a file from a website. But there's this great app called Yoink for iOS. And it's basically like a clipboard manager that you can call up almost really anywhere, because it's got full integration into the Apple's document management thing, the files system basically, and also into iCloud and Dropbox and everything like that. So what Yoink is this little app. I typically will run it as a slide over app, and you can drag and drop files or documents from any one location, put them into Yoink, and then move them or move them off to another location. So it really allows you to take documents and manage them all over your iOS devices. And it'll do things like I can copy a link from my Mac and it does the continuity thing, and that will show up as available to pull into Yoink. They also have a extension. So if you're in Safari and you tap and hold on a link, you can go bring up the little share sheet thing and download a file right into Yoink. So that's where the zip thing comes into play. So if you get a zip in an email or you get a zip on the web that you need to download, you can pull that right into Yoink, and then I can take that over to Documents by Riedel, which will actually unzip a file. So Ewan, you know, that was kind of a tip for you, that if you do send out a zip file to those kids, they can use an app like Documents and they can actually unzip it and view all those images, even on iOS. But Yoink is this great little utility that just is, it's a clipboard manager, and you could put multiple items in there. You can divide things off. They have things called stacks where you can take groups of documents from different locations and move them around. It automatically detects stuff that's on your clipboard. So if you've copied text, you can paste that into there. It's this great versatile little app. And I think it's $4.99, I want to say. It's like $5.
$2.99.
$2.99, even better.
$2.99, so.
Yeah.
Unless I found the wrong Yoink.
It might have been on, no. I don't know if it's on sale or if that's the new price. But anyway, it's brilliant. it's a great little utility. I mean, I don't know the price because I didn't even hesitate. When I saw what this thing could do, it was just like, okay, $3.
You know why I'm laughing, don't you? Bob Beach is stuck around for the cool things. Amazing. But B, he's gone, oh, I love Yoink. He's got it. He's already got it. We did last week. He's got everything to do with tech. He's got all of our cool. That's why he doesn't stick around.
And Patrice, come back to me. Patrice, you picked this a while back, I think, and I probably wasn't listening.
Long time ago, yes.
Yeah. So,
I think Bob Beach has got AirPlay 2 and he's got stereo speakers for.
So there you go. Yoink from Eternal Storms Software. Grab it. You won't be sorry.
Yeah, it's good. I used iZip for a while because that's the thing I could find, but I think I'll go to Yoink now because that looks way better.
Yeah, I don't know if Yoink will actually unzip files, but definitely you can pull them into something like Documents from Riedel. And
well, iZip definitely unzip zip files.
Right. And so you can probably pull from Yoink. You know, the biggest problem I always had was being able to download from Safari. Like Safari, why it can't just direct download a zip file is beyond me. But Yoink solves that problem for me. So
cool. James, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, so the app that I was referring to previously was by a company that no longer sells it, by Autodesk. It was called 123D Catch, and it was an iPhone app. Now, believe it or not, don't worry, because I'm a cool guy and got the workaround for you. But basically, 123D Catch by Autodesk would enable you to use your iPhone and go around an object and then turn it into a 3D object, which you could then export at a later date. Now, obviously, it's been discontinued as of January 2017. Funny enough that we happen to be talking about it. But I've just found one that does anything similar, something very similar called Qlone. So it's Qlone. Let me just drop the thing into the thing so you can have a little look at that. And the idea is that it works on the same thing. So this is not a new thing anymore. And the idea is with Qlone, what's that saying? The idea is you download the app, it's free, Qlone, and it's called Scanning Solution. The idea is you get your phone, and you basically just walk around the device, the object on the table, and it will scan it from every single angle. It will then produce a 3D object, which you can then kind of muck about with. I think it says you can texture it as well. So forgive me, I don't know about and that it actually does something very similar. So if you look at that link I've just thrown in there, this is a Qlone is a 3D scanning mobile app development by IQ Technologies, a company from Israel.
Oh, that's available on the App Store.
Yeah, I've just downloaded it. I've not had a chance to play with it, but it looks like the same as 123D Catch, where it, again, just takes the camera data. So you just put the object in the middle of the room, in the table, and you walk around it, and it captures it. It's really, really cool. But my actual pick was going to be, oh, by the way, UK2 are doing domain names for .co.uk for £1 at the moment. That is brilliant. £1 for domain name. Remember, I bought Motion. I got Motion Ninja last week, didn't I? Yeah. The app I was actually wanted to talk about was Anchor. Now, Anchor is exactly what we're talking about today on the podcast, because it's a standalone iPhone app, and it's free. And the first thing it says, which is funny, if you go to the homepage, I don't care, is this is the old way of recording a podcast. This is the new way. And the guy's got, on the old way, he's surrounded by speakers and monitors. And on the new way, he's just holding his iPhone. And it is a great app. You can actually publish a iTunes podcast straight from your iPhone. You need audio else. Only. It is audio only at the moment.
Yeah. Okay.
It is fantastic. I did a 29-second demo to see if they were correct. It will publish it to iTunes, and it absolutely does. So on iTunes, I've actually got a podcast, which is funny because it's been many years since I've had a podcast. And it's done it. It's done it exactly how it promised it. But it's actually got some great features built in. So people who listen to your podcast can actually clap. There's a little app, a little button you can press once a podcast, and it actually adds the sound of applause to it, which is great if you're listening back and you can hear people actually interacting with your podcast. So it's called Anchor. So anchor.fm is the website you need to go to, and you can be your own podcast demon, and it will publish to all the podcast regimes that we're of. And I said, I've just tested it. It's taken about a week to get it onto iTunes, but it's there. And I love it. So there you have some great little things there for you to play with.
Where is it hosting the audio files for hosting? Are they providing that for free?
Yeah, it's all free. It's all free, Adam. You really need to have a look at it. It's great.
So they're getting advertising off your podcast, though.
Well, they're just saying, obviously, yeah, it says it's 100% free. It's 100% free. Why start? Have a look at the website. It's a brilliant website for Anchor, and it just tells you the feature set. I've had a little play with it. One good thing, it uses Apple Music to integrate music from your library. So if you're doing some sort of outro, it'll actually use Apple Music and actually bring that music in. You can select how much you want to play of that and link it through to Apple Music from inside the app. I promise you, once you have a go with this, I think you're going to be really impressed. You heard it here first.
Great pick, mate.
Thank you.
Patrice, what do you have?
I'm going to probably repick something that I picked hopefully a couple of months ago. DirecTV. No, there's a good reason for it. So DirecTV now has a new version 2.0 of the app out. And not only is it definitely a great improvement over their previous app, so UI-wise, they also added DVR. So you can now record your favorite shows. And it actually is way better than what YouTube TV is doing from a user perspective, because I can say, I want to record Arrow, and I only want to record the new shows. Whereas Google, I can only say record Arrow, and then it just records everything. So it is brilliant. It is better. I love DirecTV. I mean, I'm not planning on using the DVR too much, because I'm just using the native NBC, ABC apps and so on. But I mean, you get that for free with DirecTV as well. DirecTV starts at, I think, $35 if you're in the US. So this is unfortunately a US only thing. And what I did a couple of months ago, which is why I think I picked it, they still have the promotion that you basically prepay 3 months of DirecTV and you get an Apple TV 4K for free. So if you're not into that, this is from my perspective, from what I've tested, the best TV streaming solution so far.
Has the stream frozen?
Yes, a little bit. Yours have.
Okay, because everyone's frozen at this end.
Yes, everyone's frozen here as well. No, it's not true. Green is moving.
I mean, anyone else? I'm still moving.
We're all moving.
Except Ewan.
Only Ewan is frozen. Yes.
Yeah, Ewan's frozen.
I haven't done anything, though.
Yeah, you and stuck for me. Everybody else is alive.
I have no idea why I'm stuck, and I'm wondering whether YouTube is still recording or not.
Oh, okay. Still got live.
Still says live on my thing, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'll keep going.
Is
the screen switching? Is it gone from person to person, or is it stuck on Patrice?
It's
switching. Yeah.
Okay, I have no idea why I'm frozen, but there we go. Greeny, have you got a cool thing?
Yeah, I have. And my cool thing is a bit rubbish, I'll be honest.
Build it up, dude. Build it up.
Yeah, I'm good. So, I used to be a pro musician, and being on stage and playing the piano and stuff like that is a big part of the person I am. I suppose it's about 50% of the person I am. And my old piano, it were Yamaha P200, just doesn't work anymore. And come sort of July, I'm gigging again. I'm back out on the road doing the thing that I love. So I thought, well, what shall I do? Shall I get the new version, which I think is P260 or whatever, or shall I get a controller keyboard and connect it to my MacBook Pro? So I've gone for the controller keyboard connected to my MacBook Pro. And in order to use that, I'm going to use Main Stage, which I've been playing around with, and it's absolutely fantastic. Now, I know you can buy it independent of Logic, but I've got it. Why am I looking at a picture of a dog? That's all I can see.
Yeah, I believe it's stuck on Patrice's feed. I'm still
yes, playing so my I end. Thought instead of seeing me, you could at least see something more interesting.
why is your dog in some sort of bondage?
That's just her harness, so we can. I can walk her.
Is there a gimp mask involved as well? Or
mate, the feed's frozen. If I restart it, you're going to come up on a completely different feed, and I'm hoping that you do your frigging pick, man.
I'm done.
Yes.
Is that it? You finished?
Main Stage, perfect.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Love it.
Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me at MacCast.com, MacCast on your favorite podcast app, and MacCast on all your favorite social media apps.
Brilliant, mate. James, where would you be?
You just find me on Twitter at James Rickards. That's where I tweet the most. That's RICKARDS. See you there.
Thank you, mate. Patrice, where will you be?
Well, every couple of weeks or every 2 weeks here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
So you're not available next week?
I have to see. I mean, I'm moving around meetings, so actually I might be available every week from now on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, just say if you've got trouble, then we can ping pong Chuck Latornis in as well. So
that's okay. Not a problem. If you need, I'll let you know as soon as I can.
And Greeny, where will you be?
Shut up. I can tell you're upset with me now.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
you can find me, Andy Eath. I've got nothing to do for 3 days, and what I am going to do, definitely without a shadow of a doubt, is British Mac. So if you go to britishmac.com, it's possibly one of the most eccentric Mac related podcasts I think you'll ever listen to, it's a load of fun. So go to britishmac.com, follow me on Twitter at britishmac, or if you head over to iTunes, do a search on British Mac or Will Green and you'll find me.
Excellent, mate. This is super weird. My computer is entirely frozen, but I'm still talking to all you boys, and I'm hoping that YouTube's still recording, so who knows. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We've got at British Tech if you want to follow us on Twitter for all the corporate type stuff. We're going to be back again next week. Hopefully, we're going to be back in the normal studio with all the normal stuff. And the thing that amazes me is this network has so many technical issues that I can even freeze a Google Hangout.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a prize in the post. If it's $1 million, brilliant. Thank you. See you all next week. Have a great weekend.
Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Great time.